105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105. It's 5:31, Cambridge 105, Community Radio in your city. 105 Drive with Julian through until 7 o'clock. We've got two foodie-related items over the next couple of days. Tomorrow at this time, the Michelin-starred Mark Poynton will be telling me about his new TV role. But tonight, it's the turn of Angus Martin, the acclaimed head chef of the Varsity. Angus is running a steak and wine masterclass next Monday, and he's here to tell me a little bit more about it. Hello, Angus.
Hello, Julian. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. Now, thank you for coming in. And when I open the door to you, not only have you got your chef's outfit, that's probably a better way to describe it. There probably is a better way, isn't there?
It's white.
Chef white. Okay.
We're very simple as chefs.
Yeah, no, it works for me. But you also sort of produced a bag and a box full of stuff, which is now scattered around the desk, and I guess we should probably take a photograph or something of it before it gets too far. So let's explain first of all what we actually have in front of me here.
Well, we brought our four steaks that we do on our Steak and Wine Masterclass. We've got a ribeye, a sirloin, a rump and a fillet. We grill all those on charcoal, so I brought those along to taste. And the whole idea is to pair it. Me and Neil McAndrew from Bancroft Wine spent a lot of time playing with wines to actually go with the steaks. It was quite interesting to find out it's more textural than flavour from the beef point of view. So we've got ourselves a Malbec, a Rioja, a Chateauneuf du Pape, and an Australian Pitchfork, which is a Cabernet Merlot, which is really good. It's my favourite.
Okay, and the cuts of meat, what do we have here?
We've got a ribeye, and then we've got a sirloin, and a rump, and a fillet.
Okay, so let's maybe start with the meat. As a chef, or perhaps even a cook at home, how do you go about finding the best cuts? You mentioned that it wasn't just about the taste, it was just as much about the texture as well.
It is. To be fair, you watch all the television programmes and they all tell you exactly the same thing. It is finding yourself a good butcher. We don't want to demonise supermarkets by any stretch of the imagination, but the best place to shop is a local butcher. And have a good relationship with him and ask questions. And the meat will do the talking once he starts producing it for you.
Right. It's interesting because a lot of the supermarkets try to say, oh, yes, our meat is very nice. It's sourced from local-ish farms. And they have a nice picture of the farmer sometimes on the side as well. But even despite those efforts, you'd still say that it's the local butcher, perhaps on the Mill Road or somewhere else, which has the edge.
It's definitely the local butcher. Supermarkets are hitting a broad spectrum of people, and they're getting a generic product, if you like, across all their stores, whereas butchers could locally source, and local is better. It's better for the cow, it's better for everything.
Yeah. Does the kind of meat differ, then, in different parts of the country? If we were for sake of having this conversation in Northumbria, would it be a slightly different quality to the meat?
Well, the quality, no. Flavour and texture, definitely, yes. As with everything, the different breed of cattle produces different qualities and textures and flavours of meat. What they're finished on grass, they're finished on grain. It all makes a difference. It's a giant kaleidoscope of everything. From sunshine, it's rather like making beer, if you like. The more you put into it, the better you get out of it. It's exactly the same with cattle, livestock, sheep, pigs, anything like that. The better you treat it, the better you feed it, the better you look after it, the better it's kept, the better quality you have at the end. As simple as that.
And I notice you've chosen wine. A lot of people, I guess, if they go out for a steak, they might think, I'll have a beer. You know,
I'm a beer man myself, to be fair. But you tend to find that the older generation who are frequenting our restaurants, where they're starting this sort of 35, 45, they're getting into their wines in a big way. And we thought steak and wine would be a better way than doing steak and beer. So it hit a different sort of demographic, really.
Yeah, there has been a change, I think, hasn't there? More people generally are having wine, certainly when they go out, and than has been the case, I guess, in decades past.
I think wine has lost its snob value. I think that's the way we're looking at it. In the olden days, it used to be people would go up and they'd hold their wine up. Wine now is for drinking and enjoying rather than be seen doing, which is great.
Okay, I think it's about time we had a little taste of both steak and wine here. We've also got work experience Tom, who's with us, who's also going to grab one of the forks that Angus has kindly provided for me here. So where's the start? Do we sort of
start at the ribeye top?
Okay,
right hand corner, left hand corner to you.
I'll try. Do you want to grab a fork here, Tom, and have a go as well? Right. Not anything off yet. That's only a matter of time.
Or use fingers. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll just jab the fork in here. And so this is a bit of the... What's the best thing to do? Put it in my mouth, obviously. But then take the wine straight away afterwards?
No.
Will it digest it first?
Have a chew and have a swallow. And then take the wine, swill it round the mouth just a little. The wine we're pairing with the ribeye is the Malbec, which is Argentinian. It's quite interesting. It's fruity, but there's a little spice on the end. It's quite nice.
Mmm. And be careful here not to talk with my mouth full, actually. This could be quite interesting in terms of quick digestion. But what sort of things am I looking for in terms of the mix of the two flavours?
In the Malbec, we are looking for... It's quite plummy. You have to cook the ribeye rare to medium to get the best effect because you want to break the fat down, really. So anything between medium rare and medium is perfect. Rare is probably a little bit too rare to break down the fat. And it's the fruitiness of the wine that goes with the texture of the meat, really, which is just lovely.
I noticed that the steak I have in front has been cooked to different levels. This one is reasonably red. It's not it's not undercooked or anything,
no.
But it's then the next one, which we'll move on to in a moment, the sirloin, it's perhaps a little bit more pinky.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one, the fillet, that's actually quite well done, I'd say.
I'd say it's certainly more cooked than the others. It hasn't travelled as well as we would have liked from where it came from.
That was good. Okay, so...
So now we're going to go on to the sirloin, which is the next one in, which we've got mixed with it. It's Cabernet Merlot. It's Pitchfork. It's from Margaret River in Australia.
Right.
It's got a higher alcohol content. The sirloin has less fat in it. It has fat surrounding the outside of it, which has crisped up slightly. But the alcohol content in the wine is definitely noticeable. And it's got a little bit of violet in there, and it's quite velvety in the mouth. It's got a good mouthfeel, which goes against the sirloin having less fat content in it.
Yeah, that's so good. Tom, what do you think of... Tom's got his mouth full. A bit like the cricket, isn't it, when they offer somebody a piece of cake?
Yeah, it is.
And then ask them for their comments. Angus, you didn't actually mention the butcher, I don't think, where the food is obtained from.
We use two butchers. We use Andrews, which used to be on Burley Street. They're now across the railway back of home base. And we also use Burton's Butchers from Saffron Walden, who's a newer butcher that we're using. And we get the ribeye and T-bones from Andrews, and the fillets and the sirloins and the rumps come from Burton's.
It's very good, actually. I'm trying to debate of the meats as to which one was my favourite so far. It's very good, the pair of them.
My favourite is coming up next, which is the rump, which goes with the Rioja. Rump's just one of those things. It's what we'd call a manly steak. It's definitely... And it's a 20-ounce steak we serve in the restaurant, and we do it with a beer marinade.
Only 20 ounce.
Yeah, only 20 ounces. So. We do it with a beer marinade. So what we do is we charcoal the beef, and then we spread it with a homemade barbecue sauce, finish it under the char grill, and then we pour Peroni on top of it.
Oh, very nice.
It's amazing. Mm. This one doesn't have that finish because we're going for the wine pairing, but it's an incredible thing. It was taught to me by a Zywar chef called Lawrence Kalala, who used to work for Belgo in London.
Oh, okay.
And they used to do a lot of cooking with beer. And he said, why don't you try this? And the beer actually crisps up. It caramelised on the outside. It is amazing.
Belgo is if it's so, I think there's a few of them around. The one I always think of
Mussels.
Is the one Covent Garden.
That's
the
one. Belgo Central.
Because selection of beers, and I think they all dress as monks there, don't they?
They do have Trappist evenings. Yeah,
I thought that was the case. Right. Okay. So we've moved across to the rump is the steak and Rioja is the wine. So let's take a little mouthful of this.
What does the actual Peroni offer to it?
Well, we've tried all sorts of different beers, to be fair. We've tried Beck's, we've tried Peroni, we've tried some of the more specialist lagers and darker beers, and it doesn't actually seem to make an awful lot of difference. Peroni's just a high-end lager that we like to use. You wouldn't want to use Carlsberg on it or, Stella. You're going to have to go out and start bashing people up just because they heard Stella on their rump steak. Not good. So the rump's going with the Rioja, which is it's spicy. It's almost... There's some cinnamon in there, and it's oaky. Which is...
I like the rump, I must say. That's probably...
It's my favourite.
The winner now for me as well, so far, three I've tasted. So let's have a little sip of the Rioja. Oh, yes.
The Rioja's
yeah,
cool.
that's an interesting, very pleasant combination as well on that. Oh, yes.
But it's light. It's lighter in the mouth, which gives you the rump's heavier, but the wine is lighter. And this was the whole thing that we were doing. We're talking about textures of wines going with things rather than flavours of the meat with the wine.
Tom, are you a wine drinker? Or do you, if you're going for a steak or even a burger, what do you normally have with it?
I probably would end up going for beer like you, but it depends really. Yeah, no, I enjoy like a good red with a wine, definitely. Sorry, with a steak. But I probably would end up going for a beer, to be honest.
That's fair enough. But I think you're talking of wine now, as we said before, it is becoming more drinkable. Not drinkable as in the wine's always been drinkable, but it's become more cultural to go out and actually enjoy it as
depends
a wine.
On the situation.
Because you can afford two bottles now. In the olden days, it used to be really expensive. You go high end and you couldn't. Whereas you could easily drink two bottles between two, three of you.
Yeah, very much so. Now, so one more to go, which is the
the fillet. This is the fillet, which we're pairing with a Chateau Neuf de Pape. So basically,
we've
grabbed
a piece of that, Tom.
Is we've actually got the most expensive cut of meat with the most expensive bottle of wine, and that was purely.
Isn't it always the way?
It is always the way. It was purely by accident. But the Chateau Neuf de Pape it gives us, it's got three grape varieties, and there's a Grenache, a Syrah, a Bordeaux-Verde, and it's dark, it's rich, it's grapey, you know, it's got spice at the end, it's just got everything. Whereas the fillet, being the laziest cut of meat in the cow, doesn't actually do a lot of work. There's no fat in it, to be fair. There's fat on the outside of it, but there's none in it. So you need something to give it a bit of a punch, and the Chateau Neuf de Pape takes care of that quite adequately.
So give us a sip, in which case.
It's just a shame they're all on strike at the moment.
Always the way. Always the way.
But you can feel that wine that goes in, and it's just got... It's there. It's saying, hello.
Oh, yes. that is probably the most distinctive of the four wines, even against the spiciness of the aqua a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. That is very nice. Oh, I enjoyed this. I have to come get you in every week. Tell me a little bit more about the event and what you're going to be doing there.
Well, we write a menu for the Steak and Wine Masterclass. People buy tickets, they come along. It's more of a club than a masterclass now. It started out as a masterclass because we've been doing them now. This must be about the 12th, 14th one.
Because there are a lot of supper clubs around Cambridge. I know Flavour, our food magazine, often mentions various nationalities of food which have taken place.
Yeah, we at the Steakhouse, one of the things that we do, deliberately so, is we stick to what we know. And what we know is meat. And we grill it in great big quantities. And they're big steaks. And you've eaten once you've been with us. And that's why we're busy. But the Steak and Wine Masterclass, it was, as I said, it was an idea basically to drum up custom in the early days. And we sat down, had a huge wine tasting, had huge hangovers. And started off. So Neil will come along, I'll come in, do a talk about the meat, people ask questions, you know, where they come from, how local is it, how's it slaughtered, all these questions you get. I get asked some really weird questions. And we just answered them in a very, very informal atmosphere. And there's no dress code of any description. It's very laid back. Then Neil will go on about the wine. We will send up on little plates a piece of each steak, which then Neil will do exactly what we've done here. We taste with the wine. And then you choose which steak you're going to have, how you want it cooked, which wine you're going to drink. That's all included in the price. Drink as much wine as you like, and so you'll get a fillet or a rump or a ribeye or what have you, and you sit down and you eat that. The starter will be set, and the pudding will be set, but it'll all be around the beefy theme. So last time we did it with a beef carpaccio with roasted chestnuts and horseradish, and we finished off with an Oreo cookie and orange trifle.
Very nice.
With a steak in the middle.
How many people would typically go to an event like this?
We can do, well, the smallest we've done in the early days, we were talking, you know, you're doing about 7 or 8, but we probably kick about 25.
That's not bad. I guess there's kind of an optimum number. Obviously, you want as many people to attend as possible, but from the person who's going for the evening, if it's too many people, it probably becomes a little bit difficult.
We want to keep it really personal. That's why we do it on the mezzanine level in the restaurant. It's a split-level restaurant. I don't know if you've been, Julian, but we get about 25 to 30 covers upstairs, and that gives us enough room to talk. I mean, I go around when they're eating their main course, and I'll chat to everybody there.
Okay, right. So I'm trying to have a chat with us, actually, at the moment. We'll worry about that a little later, perhaps. I think you have a competition for us as well, to mention.
We do. We're giving away some tickets to the next Steak and Wine Masterclass. I'm not quite sure the date on that, I'm afraid. Have you got that over there?
I have a date here which marks the 24th of March, which I make this time next week.
Which is perfect.
Okay.
And we will add a little competition. I don't know how we're going to run it on the radio.
I think probably the best way, if you care to give us a question, then I'll tell people all the other bits and pieces which they need to know.
A question we'd like to ask then is, where on the cow does the Chateaubriand come from, and how many on the cow are there?
Ooh, so repeat that again.
Where on the cow does the Chateaubriand come from, and how many does the cow have?
Ooh, that's a very interesting one. Right, if you know the answer to that, then you probably best to email us, drive@cambridge105.fm. You can also text us 07 919 070 490, and I gather it's a set of two tickets for the winner for that masterclass next week.
It's for a couple.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I think a couple can have a very nice evening. It starts at 6:30. That's the other key fact. And details as well on the Varsity Hotel website, thevarsityhotel.co.uk. Angus, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Julian.
For bringing the meal as well. Thank you.
Not a problem.